Polling shows that a slight majority of people in the United States oppose sending weapons to Israel to help it wage its brutal war on Gaza. Yet despite the fact that only a small percentage of Americans support arming Israel, the Joe Biden administration has sent Israel more than 100 shipments of weapons and is complicit in what many legal experts around the world have referred to as genocide. Now, today I want to begin looking at a poll that was published by a think tank in Washington, D.C. called the Center for Economic Policy Research, and it found that a slim majority of people in the U.S. say that the Biden administration should halt weapon shipments to Israel. The poll found that 52% of North Americans, slightly over half, oppose sending weapons to Israel. And among those who voted for Joe Biden, 62% want to end weapon shipments to Israel. And furthermore, among people who did not vote for president, so independents, 60% do not want to send weapons to Israel. In fact, the only group, political group in the US that supports sending weapons to Israel is Donald Trump voters. Republicans, and they found that 55% of Donald Trump voters do want to send weapons to Israel. So what this shows is that Joe Biden and the Democratic Party leadership agree with Donald Trump and the Republicans. DNC leaders are defying their own base, their own voters. They don't care about their voters. They prefer allying with Donald Trump and Republicans in support of war rather than going along with their own voters who want peace. Now, another important part of this poll that we should point out is that roughly one quarter of Biden voters and one quarter of people who didn't vote for president are not sure. They don't know if the US should continue selling weapons to Israel or should stop. So in fact, the 62% of Biden voters who oppose sending weapons to Israel, that number is even higher because it's actually 62% out of 76% of people who actually had a response. Only 14% of Biden voters support continued weapon shipments to Israel. And only 17% of people who did not vote for president support sending weapons to Israel. This is not a democracy. This shows that the only people in the US whose political positions are represented by the government are Donald Trump voters, are far-right Republicans. They're the only ones represented truly by the US government. This was confirmed by another poll that was conducted in January by The Economist magazine, which is a right-wing magazine, very pro-Israel. And they did a poll that found that more than one-third of North Americans believe Israel is committing genocide. Their poll found that 35% of North Americans say Israel is committing genocide, 36% say Israel is not, and 29% are undecided. Now, furthermore, if you look at young North Americans between ages 18 and 29, 49%, half, say Israel is committing genocide. Only 24%, one quarter of young North Americans disagree, and 27% were uncertain. Furthermore, among registered Democrats, Biden voters, 49%, half, say Israel is committing genocide. Only 21% disagree, and 30% are undecided. So once again, Biden and the DNC leadership are defying their own base. Half of Democrats say Israel is committing genocide. And instead, the Democratic leaders agree with the Republicans. 57% of Republicans do not think Israel is committing genocide. 18% say Israel is committing genocide, and one quarter are unsure. So again, the only people represented by the government are far-right Trump-supporting Republicans. Israel has rapidly lost support among Democrats and among young people in the United States. The main bastion of support for Israel is the Republican Party, but the Democratic Party doesn't care what its voters want. They only care what the military-industrial complex wants, what big corporations that fund them want, and what the U.S. empire wants. They only care about what's in the interest of the U.S. empire. It shows that the U.S. is not truly democratic. It is not a functioning democracy, because regardless of what voters want, it's only the empire and the military-industrial complex who win. The top legal authority of the United Nations, the International Court of Justice at The Hague, ruled in January that there is sufficient evidence to investigate Israel on charges of genocide. The ICJ said that the allegations of genocide are, quote, plausible. The top UN expert on the right to food said very clearly that Israel is committing genocide. I am reading here from a report in the mainstream British newspaper, The Guardian. The headline is, Israel is deliberately starving Palestinians, UN rights expert says, and the article notes, quote, Israel is intentionally starving Palestinians and should be held accountable for war crimes and genocide, according to the UN's leading expert on the right to food. In fact, a federal court in the United States also said that it is plausible to charge Israel with genocide. I'm reading again from The Guardian, quote, a federal court in California has ruled that Israel's military campaign in Gaza plausibly amounts to genocide, but dismissed a case aimed at stopping U.S. military support for Israel as being outside the court's jurisdiction. And this was a case that was brought by Palestinian human rights groups against U.S. President Joe Biden, Secretary of State Antony Blinken, and Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin. And the U.S. judge in this case wrote, quote, as the International Court of Justice has found, it is plausible that Israel's conduct amounts to genocide, but he wasn't able to order the federal U.S. government to stop arming Israel to carry out this genocide. Now, given this overwhelming evidence that Israel is committing genocide in Gaza, let's look at a report that was published in the Washington Post this March, which reveals that the Biden administration has sent Israel more than 100 shipments of weapons. I'm reading here from the article, quote, the United States has quietly approved and delivered more than 100 separate foreign military sales to Israel since the Gaza war began on October 7th. These include thousands of precision-guided munitions, small-diameter bombs, bunker busters, small arms, and other lethal aid. The report notes that previously, only two arms sales had been disclosed, which included hundreds of millions of dollars of weapons, and in those cases, the Biden administration bypassed Congress to approve the packages by invoking emergency authority to prevent Congress from having oversight, to prevent any democratic oversight of arming Israel while it commits genocide. But in the case of the 100 other arms transactions that the U.S. has done, known as foreign military sales, the weapons transfers were processed without any public debate because each fell under a specific dollar amount that requires the executive branch to individually notify Congress. So the Biden administration is carrying out these hundreds of arms shipments secretly with no democratic oversight. The people of the so-called democracy in the U.S. have no input on what their so-called democratic government is doing. And these arms shipments are very important because without them, Israel cannot carry out this war, cannot carry out this genocide. The Washington Post quoted a former senior Biden administration official who left the Biden administration, and he said that the number of arms shipments over such a short period of time, quote, really strongly suggests that the Israeli campaign would not be sustainable without this level of U.S. support. Israel's genocide is only possible because of U.S. support. And this is only the military support. I haven't mentioned the political and diplomatic support or the fact that the U.S. has voted against four different resolutions in the U.N. Security Council that have called for peace in Gaza. And the U.S. has unilaterally vetoed three of those resolutions, single-handedly blocking peace in Gaza, allowing Israel to carry out this genocide, holding the United Nations and the entire world hostage. I have a separate report about that, which I will link to in the description below. And in terms of the weapons that Israel is using to massacre Palestinian civilians, the mainstream U.S. media outlet, the Associated Press, published a report revealing that the vast majority of those bombs are U.S.-made. This was revealed in an article titled, "Israel's Military Campaign in Gaza Seen as Among the Most Destructive in Recent History." The report revealed that Israel's genocidal war in Gaza is more destructive than the war in Syria, Russia's war in Ukraine, even the war against ISIS. And this article notes, I'm reading from the Associated Press, quote, "Experts are confident that the vast majority of bombs dropped on the besieged enclave are U.S.-made. They also added that the weapons Israel is using include 2,000-pound bunker buster bombs that have killed hundreds of Palestinians in densely populated areas." This is why it's so cynical and so hypocritical for the Biden administration to claim that it supposedly cares about Palestinian civilians. It doesn't want them to be starved to death. And the Biden administration has pledged to send food aid, to airdrop food aid into Gaza. Meanwhile, as it's airdropping food aid, Israel is using U.S. bombs to massacre Palestinian civilians and commit genocide. So the food aid is marketing, it's PR. Meanwhile, as this is happening, Gazan children are starving to death. This is absolutely horrifying, and there have been several reports on this. I'm not going to read them because they're just stomach-churling. I mean, this is an article published in Canadian state media, CBC, titled, "Hungry Children Are Dying in Gaza as Israel's Chokehold on Aid Drives Territory Towards Starvation." And they have a warning at the top of this article because it's just, again, you can read it for yourself, but it's just shocking. This is a blatant genocide that we're seeing that is being sponsored by the Western so-called democracies. Meanwhile, the mainstream Western human rights organization, Amnesty International, has reported that Israel is blatantly defying the ruling by the International Court of Justice that ordered it to stop killing Palestinians and ordered it to allow humanitarian aid into the besieged Gaza Strip. Amnesty International wrote, quote, "Israel has continued to disregard its obligation as the occupying power to ensure the basic needs of Palestinians in Gaza are met." Quote, "Israel has failed to take even the bare minimum steps to comply, and the U.S. has rewarded Israel by selling it more and more weapons to help carry out this genocide." Now, while this is happening, the United Nations is publishing report after report warning that infants in Gaza are dying of hunger. There are many reports now. It's impossible to ignore these unless you're intentionally trying to ignore them. And this report from the UN news agency noted that the UN humanitarians, UN human rights experts issued a fresh alert about appalling conditions in medical facilities where more children risk battling life-threatening malnutrition. Children are dying from hunger and dehydration. Hospitals are overwhelmed with patients. Most of the UN health agency's missions to Gaza, northern Gaza, were denied by Israel. Israel is preventing the UN World Health Organization from sending food aid into Gaza and medicine into Gaza and intentionally starving them and trying to kill them and committing genocide with U.S. support. Now, many non-Western governments are speaking out condemning this genocide. For instance, China's foreign minister, Wang Yi, he referred to this as a disgrace for civilization. The Chinese foreign minister said at a press conference, quote, "It is a tragedy for humankind and a disgrace for civilization that today in the 21st century, this humanitarian disaster cannot be stopped." And he demanded an immediate ceasefire. Of course, it's the United States that is preventing this genocide from being stopped. The comments by Malaysia's new prime minister, Anwar Ibrahim, are even stronger. He said in a press conference in Australia at a meeting of the ASEAN countries, he called out the hypocrisy of Western governments. And I'm going to read here from the South China Morning Post. Malaysia's Prime Minister Anwar Ibrahim has slammed the West for its inconsistent application of international law in the Israel-Gaza war and called out its hypocrisy in condemning Russia's invasion of Ukraine, but not supporting a ceasefire in Gaza. He said, the West has given, quote, carte blanche to Israel to continue its, quote, murderous rampage on the Palestinians for six decades. The Malaysian leader said, quote, why is the West so vociferous, vehement, and unequivocal in the condemnation of the Russian invasion of Ukraine while remaining utterly silent on the relentless bloodletting inflicted on the innocent men, women, and children of Gaza? He said, unfortunately, the gut-wrenching tragedy that continues to unfold in the Gaza Strip has laid bare the self-serving nature of much-valued, the much-vaunted rules-based order. So here we see the leader of Malaysia, of a major global South country, calling out the hypocrisy of the West and its so-called rules-based order, in which the United States makes the rules and orders everyone around, and then the US and its allies violate the rules whenever it's convenient for them. The rules don't apply to them. The rules only apply to everyone else. And when US allies like Israel want to commit genocide, the US will protect them and send them hundreds of arms shipments and block resolutions in the Security Council to facilitate their continued war crimes and massacres. This is the reality of the international rules-based order. This is the reality of the West. When you hear Western governments talk about democracy and human rights, never forget this. This is not the first genocide they've sponsored. It won't be the last. Western so-called democracies were founded on genocide. Western capitalism was founded on genocide. And it was the United States that carried out genocide and ethnic cleansing against the native peoples of the Americas, the European colonial powers that colonized the entire world, that enslaved millions of Africans. And today we see that Israel is continuing this colonial history. Israel itself was a creation of British colonialism. And it was the British Empire in the Balfour Declaration that gave its blessing to create Israel after the British Empire colonized Palestine. And it was the founder of the political Zionist movement, Theodor Herzl, who said very clearly that Zionism is a colonial movement. And he got support from the British genocidal colonialist Cecil Rhodes, who colonized Africa and even named colonies in Africa after himself, Rhodesia. This is the blatant colonial history of the West that we see continuing today with the Western-sponsored genocide against the Palestinian people. The Palestinian people have suffered from this genocide since 1948, the Nakba, the Western-sponsored ethnic cleansing of the indigenous Palestinian population. And today we see this Nakba continuing with the support of Western governments, hundreds of arms shipments, despite the fact that a majority of people in the United States oppose sending these weapons, and many people recognize that it's a genocide. But the US government is not a democracy. It does not represent the people it claims to represent. It only represents the interests of big capitalists, big corporations, of Wall Street, and it is not a normal country. It is an empire. And we see that Israel is an inextricable part of the U.S. empire, and that's why the U.S. has been so desperate in propping up this fascistic apartheid regime as it's committing genocide, as the entire world can see, and basically all countries on Earth, the vast majority, are condemning this, but only the West and a few allies are supporting it. On that note, I'm going to end here. I wish I could be less pessimistic, but the situation is very dire. I want to thank everyone for joining me today. This is Geopolitical Economy Report. Please like and subscribe. Please share. And I will see you next time. Thanks a lot for watching.